Good evening, everyone. It's 6:31 by my reckoning up the front, and I declare the General Council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everyone know that there will be an audio recording of the General Council meeting, and that will be made available on the City of Marion website, usually once the minutes are confirmed. Now, I'll ask councillors if they foreshadow any potential conflicts of interest with items on the agenda. I'll start with Councillor Telfer.
I have a perceived conflict of interest with the regulated tree maintenance, and I will leave as I have a tree that straddles council and my land.
Thank you. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have two perceived conflicts of interest, one being the Tree Management Fund. I will remain in the chamber. Mr Lyons answered my questions yesterday, but I do have a significant gum on the verge of my property. And my other perceived conflict of interest is with regards to Cohen Court, mainly because I live on a dead-end street and I understand, and I would like that recorded, that it's I identify that as perceived conflict of interest.
It's entirely up to you. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a perceived conflict of interest regarding the Friends of Lowerfield River volunteer resolution.
That's as a member of the group?
Sorry, yes, as a member of the Friends of Lowerfield River.
Very well. That's obviously an item that deals with environmental volunteers generally, but they are specifically referred to in the report. Councillor Duncan.
I also have a perceived conflict of interest with the Upperfield River, as I'm a member of that group, but I'll be staying in the chamber.
Thank you. If there aren't any others, we can move along. Would somebody like... Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm going to state it anyway. I live in a cul-de-sac as well, so if that's a perceived conflict of interest, then I too have a perceived conflict of interest.
From the chair's point of view, you'd be talking about a substantial class of residents who would be in that situation, and so unless it was that particular reserve or someone affected by the traffic in Clovelly Park or Tonsley, I'd suggest that there wouldn't be a perceived conflict of interest by that fact, but that's entirely a matter for you, Councillor Pryor. Councillor Hull.
Question, Mr. Mayor, going forward, with declarations of conflict of interest, is there any provisions in the Local Government Act or meeting procedures where they have to be credible, that it's not an opportunity for a councillor to think, oh, I won't get involved in that, I'll just leave?
Councillor Hull, I can answer that fairly quickly, and I think the governance manager, Ms. McKenzie, may wish to add to that. But in essence, the conflict of interest provisions leave it up to the individual member to make a judgment, and it's not really for other members or the chair or staff to make a judgment about whether it's an appropriate decision or not. Having said that, if there's a question put, certainly the chair and staff will give advice as they see fit. Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, yeah, I completely agree with the comments. The declaration is up to the member themselves.
Very well. If there are no other items there, then would one of the members like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Oh, a question about the minutes. Sorry, before I take the vote, Councillor Gart.
Your Worship, I just noticed quite a few typos in the minutes this time through, and I read them particularly carefully, not having been at that meeting. Just things like spacings, not in and whatnot, and one or two areas was one where a dot point was in the wrong place, and that can actually affect comprehension. So I wonder if someone could get in the habit of a special edit of the minutes, or not edit, but check of the minutes for typos in future, because I counted seven or eight this time.
So not to the extent that you would want minutes corrected, but
no,
you're just
not in this instance,
suggesting
no.
that for the future.
Right. They're self-evident when you come to them. But yep.
Staff can take that on board. Thank you. So I'll put the vote. All those in favour, confirming the minutes last meeting, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So on to the communications reports. Would someone like to move that they be received? Move Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. There's an adjourned item, city limits, policies, etc. Because there's a motion sitting at the end of the meeting which might affect those policies, with your leave, I'll move that to the end of the agenda. If no objection, so let's do that. Now we come to deputations. Now, there are two entirely different issues of great public interest this evening, and so we have members of the public here who have an interest with the item concerning the Tonsley Northern Vehicle Connector, as it's been dubbed, and the Glendore Oval issues. So it's a 50-50, but the deputation in relation to the Northern Vehicle Connector, I believe, came in first, so let's deal with that. And what I'm going to propose to elected members is that we then deal with the substantive motion concerning the Tonsley Northern Vehicle Connector, so that those people who have just heard the deputation get to see how we debate and resolve that issue. And then we can move on to the deputations about Glendore Oval, and then if members agree, we can bring forward all of the matters concerning Glendore Oval. So I think that's the most sensible way to proceed, just dealing with the two topics sequentially like that. So first of all, regarding the Tonsley Northern Vehicle Connector, the reference is on page 46. It's Ms. Holmes. Would you like to come forward, please? So just take a seat up the front here, and Mr. Harrison, our chief... It's all right, we won't look. Mr. Harrison will just let you know how the microphone works. When you're ready to speak, you simply press the button. That's right. So you have 5 minutes. If you finish early, we'll leave us time for questions, if you like. No worries at all. We look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah and Council members for this opportunity. I'm speaking on behalf of concerned residents in Cohen Court, Clovelly Park, and almost, or actually over now, 300 people who have signed our online petition. We are all in favour of improving our suburb and amenities, but we have some reservations about the proposed Tonsley Vehicle Connector project. We know that the original plan was to create a shared pathway between Tonsley and Clovelly Park several years ago. This new proposal is far from the original. Our major concern in regards to the driveway link is the impact that the resulting change in traffic conditions will cause and the effect that this will have on our daily lives as residents and visitors to Cohen Court. We are especially concerned about the following: how the consultation was communicated. A letterbox drop was used as the main way to promote the consultation process to the community. This is suitable for notifying residents, but as our street and neighbourhood has a high level of rental properties, this method has potentially excluded a significant proportion of your ratepayers from being able to participate in the consultation process. All ratepayers have a right to be notified of significant changes that will affect their properties. Lack of transparency in regards to the estimated increase in traffic flow along Cohen Court. The estimated increase of 1,040 vehicles along Cohen Court, resulting in a daily volume of 1,425, was hidden on your website. Access and egress issues and increased safety risks resulting from traffic entering and exiting the Tonsley precinct via the driveway link, particularly for the residents and visitors to the 60 townhouses and two houses located at the end of the cul-de-sac. We are concerned about the flow-on effect that over 200% increase in traffic will create. The Cowan Court and Windsor Avenue intersection is already a traffic hazard due to the blind corner. The intersection of Windsor Avenue and Coatig Avenue already experiences a high volume of traffic. The flow-on effect will also introduce increased traffic using the route out to Dawes Road via Windsor Avenue, English Avenue and Beaumont Street. This route is already congested and compromised by on-street parking due to the approval of many property subdivisions in the area. We ask that Marion Council and Pete be transparent in their dealings with the community and release the complete traffic report from GTA Traffic Consultants. How will the driveway link create a slower speed environment and discourage cut-through traffic? We don't understand that. The information provided doesn't adequately explain it either. In our opinion, this development is doing the complete opposite and creating a cut-through road. How will children, and adults for that matter, be kept safe from the traffic using the driveway link? It will be running through their current play space. Again, this isn't adequately addressed in the information provided. What sort of guarantee is there that this will remain a single lane through road and not be expanded to increase traffic flow later at a later date? Council has reportedly considered the alternate Byron Avenue Reserve suggestion and dismissed it due to the significant trees and biodiversity present. Did Council undertake an investigation and assessment of this site themselves, or just rely on reports received from Pete? This site would provide better access to the main Tonsley precinct via a direct connection to Digital Drive while avoiding disruption to Cowan Court residents and the new residents of Tonsley Village. And finally, the removal of the physical, environmental and social benefits that residents enjoy from living on a cul-de-sac. In other words, the very reason why we chose to live on Cowan Court and Windsor Avenue, and many of us there for more than 25 years. Thank you for the opportunity to present tonight and for listening to our concerns. We sincerely hope that you will take them into consideration when making your decision on this project and request to be kept informed. We leave you with a list of questions on notice that we expect responses to as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you for that address. I'll invite members to...
Is that the question? That's the
question,
yes, thank you.
I'll invite members to consider questions. I did have a quick factual statement and a question for you, Ms. Holmes. The factual statement that you did claim that material was hidden on the council website, I can assure you that I often find it impossible to find relevant information I'm after for current council issues on our website, so you're not the only one, and it may not have been deliberate. But the question I wanted to ask you was about the traffic report. Now, we've got a report in our agenda, which is public, starts on page 77. It does have, let's say, key details from the traffic report, but it doesn't have the actual traffic report itself. But my question to you was, once we've got the numbers of very substantial percentage increases in traffic, what more did you expect or want to find out from the actual traffic report itself?
Sorry. We wanted to be sure that was the actual figures. And I guess we just want a clarification that we weren't being sold a pup in that, for want of a better description, I suppose. It's just about clarification, and we think that there should be transparency in proving any statements that are there. We need to have proof.
Yes, that's a fair comment. I must say I'm prepared to be as sceptical as the average person about a lot of the material we see, but when very specific figures are quoted, I would say, usually the council staff are reflecting accurately the source document with something like that. And indeed, the argument that you're making can be made on those figures that have been provided in any sense, but that'll be a decision for the council. Now, questions. Councillor Valescu.
During the deputation, there were several questions asked. Are they the ones that have been passed on to staff that perhaps could be answered when we get to this topic?
They are some of the questions, but there are further. There's 17 questions.
Okay. Well, I guess if we could get those answers from staff during the item where we can tonight, that would be great, and then obviously later on for the others.
Yes, so I've got that paper that's been handed up by Ms. Holmes, and I'll give that to the relevant staff member when we shortly get to the topic for debate. Councillor Hull?
That document that you're brandishing, Mr. Mayor, can we get access to that?
Well,
I have several copies if you need them.
Yeah, I mean, happy to facilitate that. It could be, I'm just asking Ms. McKenzie how quickly she could photograph it and then email it. Would that be the best thing, Councillor Hull? Or meanwhile, if you have a few copies, perhaps one of our staff members could at least hand around a few of them to circulate from either end and give Councillor Hull a copy. Any other questions? Then
some of our supporters have got some copies as well.
Oh, okay. So there probably are just about enough copies for everyone. But thank you, Ms. Holmes. I don't think there are any more for the moment. So you can take your place back in the gallery.
Thank you.
And I'll put it to you, members, that I have leave to bring forward the motion about the Tonsley Northern Vehicle Connector. So if there's no, is there any objection, Councillor Hull? Is there any objection to that?
No, I'm moving option two, Mr. Mayor.
Well, you're not being called upon at the moment to do that.
My apologies, Mr. Mayor.
But I would normally look to ward councillors, so I'll just see Councillor Telford. Do you wish to move? Councillor Telford, go ahead.
Yes. I move that we don't proceed with this resolution to revoke the community land and that Cohen Court remains as it is. The reason that I've done this is that even though I am strongly committed to connectivity of communities and life. In this case, we have a strong opinion from a community, and they did voice that both from Hannah Drive and from Cohen Court. And on the strength of what Cohen Court and Hannah Drive had said, I myself wanted to get that checked out, and I door-knocked the whole of Cohen Court and Hannah Drive on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And it is indeed a place where it is important to understand that there are 62 units very close to the entrance of the proposed driveway link, and that it would create an enormous safety traffic issue at that particular spot, as it would at the bend in the road on Cohen Court, and also where Cohen Court goes out into Windsor Drive. So it is necessary to consider these factors. And Hannah was interesting also, door knocking, that there were people that said it was a quick way for them to get out, but there are other ways for them to get out. And there were people strongly against because they wanted to keep their community as well. So we have on both sides of the proposed driveway link communities that have voiced their opinions, and so I believe that it's appropriate that we don't proceed, and I thank the community for their feedback.
Thanks, Councillor Telfer. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, and I just for clarity, we are moving option two as printed on the screen. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, as members know, I didn't support this right from the get-go. I could see problems with it. My radar saw this coming, that people wouldn't like this. What gets me is that there seems to be two good access and egress points from this site. This new residential site was once a Chrysler cum Mitsubishi factory. You can either go out down to Marion Road with a set of traffic lights, beautiful, or you can go to the east out onto South Road with a set of traffic lights, tickety-boo. So I've asked the question, why do we need this connector? Like it's as simple as that. And we've wasted a lot of time and resources on this and caused a great deal of anguish in our community for what? Can't we learn how to pick our fights and actually go forward with something that's going to work? And the community consultation's been brought into question again. I really think that we're starting to have evidence of some community engagement issues with this council, and this is another one. So I'm happy to support Councillor Telfer with this. Good on you for getting out and door knocking. We could have actually saved ourselves a lot of time and expense and anguish by assessing this earlier as to whether it was ever going to fly.
Before we go further, to give due respect to Ms. Holmes and the questions she's come up with, could I ask staff to do a rapid fire response? Some of those questions are probably not straightforward or matters of opinion, etc., and it may be that you simply wish to take them on notice and in some public way provide a response, whether it's on the website or whatever. But to the extent that you can give rapid answers to those 17 questions, could Dr. Grimm, would you do that? Oh, yes. Well, it'll help if we give you a copy of the questions. So it's very much off the cuff, but at least it gives Ms. Holmes some satisfaction, perhaps. Councillor Crossland,
just wondering if you could find out if anyone is actually speaking against, and it might save a bit of time.
Yes, it was just in the interest of having the information on the record, but I'll ask if there's a speaker against the motion. Well, there being none, I still think it's appropriate for a response to at least be provided. In fact, I'm happy to write back to Ms. Holmes if staff are willing to provide some answers to those questions. I was going to simply put the motion. Is there someone objecting? Councillor Gard.
I was hopeful of asking a question of management regarding the alternate option, not as in that option, but in the alternate route option, and how viable that could be.
All right. Let's. Dr. Grimm, could you answer that, please?
Through the chair, just for clarification, I assume you're referring to the alternative option being Byron Reserve. Is that for clarity?
Well, I must say I'm not.
Yes. That's the other alternative that's mentioned in the report.
That's the one mentioned in the report. If there is another option again, well, I'd be interested. Yeah.
The difficulty with it, of course, is that it still has the result of a very substantial percentage increase, at least, in traffic through the streets to the north of the Tonsley development. So from the resident point of view, it would perhaps help Cohen Court residents, but there would be others perhaps just as affected. Dr. Grimm?
Through the chair, we had some internal investigations around Byron Avenue Reserve early in the piece. And obviously there is significant vegetation and habitat value in that reserve. And if there was to be the establishment of a road through that reserve, it would damage or remove a large portion of that vegetation. So it was deemed inappropriate to proceed with that option.
And just before we finish with the matter, for transparency, I can let the public know that there has been talk for a few years about a bikeway or bike path to somehow get people from Tonsley linking to the railway line into the city. But of course, that's a very different matter to vehicles such as cars and trucks. It's purely in the planning stage, but council may be receiving a report later this year on possible routes for such a bike path. So all I'm saying to members of the public who are interested in that topic and how it might affect them, just to keep an eye on that. Right, the questions are going to be taken on notice. There was no speaker against. Councillor Valescu.
Question. Whilst the consultation sort of gave a pretty clear view of the community sentiment, one issue was raised in regards to residents as opposed to the owners of the property. Could we give any direction as to whether we do at any time contact owners of property for any significant consultation events? And if we don't, if staff could suggest at what times they think that could be added in as part of our consultation process?
Well, I think that one might be taken on notice as well, because it's really for the community engagement team and those particular staff members at the relevant level aren't here, but Mr. Haridis is the manager above that level. Any comments, Mr. Haridis?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question, Councillor. There are certainly occasions where that does occur, and typically that's with direct posts, because they will often be the addresses that we do have that relate to owners as much as residents that are present. That's something we can certainly look at, and as the Mayor's mentioned, we can undertake through the community engagement team to just get some detailed response to your query.
All right, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour of option two, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So, Ms. Holmes, I hope you understood what just happened. We said no to the connector. After that display of exuberance, just a reminder that the gallery is meant to remain silent. But now we have a 2.5 hours ahead of us. So if you wish to leave quietly, you're very welcome to. You can take your signs, or they'll be thoughtfully recycled. Now, other deputations. Members can find the list of deputations, pages 47, 48. First, I'd invite Mr. Damien Kiddo from the Adelaide Cricket Club to come forward, please. And hopefully you've been briefed, Mr. Kiddo. It's as easy as pressing the button when you're ready to start, and you have 5 minutes.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Mayor Hannah, and thank you, Council. Really appreciate the opportunity to brief you tonight regarding the cricket net development at Glandore Oval. I'm Damien Kitto, and I'm the president of the Adelaide Cricket Club. The Adelaide Cricket Club, for those that don't know, is one of 13 clubs in the South Australian Cricket Association's Premier Cricket Competition. The ACC is a 116-year-old club. It's actually one of the oldest clubs in the competition. It has produced many first-class and also Australian cricketers. Jason Gillespie may be a name that you know. Whilst we're responsible for elite cricket pathway, we also work closely with a number of community clubs as well in the area. We have 150 players and members, and this is growing because this year we're introducing a women's program. We have a total of 450 players, members, and past players at the club. So we're a very large and successful club. We've now been operating out of Glandore now for some 25 years, and we have a very strong partnership with the City of Marion that we greatly value and appreciate. We have a very strong relationship with the staff here at Council. After a number of problems going back about 20-odd years ago, the Adelaide Cricket Club developed a new management structure that you may or may not be aware of, and we're really delighted with the way the Glandore Recreation Centre Border Management is working, which is led by the Adelaide Cricket Club. It's a very, very sustainable model. It works really well. We really pay our own way, and I'm sure it's an outcome that council really appreciates. We're very proud of the facility. We've appointed Westminster as one of our Westminster Old Scholars Footy Club as a very good partner, and we've invested significantly in the property over the years. There was a massive redevelopment of the club rooms, there's new lights, there's a scoreboard, there's new outbuildings, and of course, more recently, thank you, Mayor, for the investment into the kitchen there of the facility. The Black Forest Primary School also uses the facility, and we also prepare oval wickets on the oval for them to use every Saturday. The next phase of the redevelopment of Glandore Oval, if you like, in the eyes of the cricket club, is a very simple development. It's the development of some new cricket nets, which would be used by the club, would be used by the community, would be also used by the Black Forest Primary School. Basically, the Adelaide Cricket Club has outgrown the nets that we currently have. There's limitations with those nets adjoining the club rooms. Fly balls, unfortunately, go through the nets and over the fence and damage property in the residents. And also, unfortunately, balls crash through the nets and create a significant noise with the fencing. Of course, we try to reduce those impacts, but it's not ideal for those adjoining residents, and we do apologise. We've selected the old retired netball courts. They're disbanded and they're disused, haven't been used for many years, and it also, of course, adjoins a commercial property and also South Road. So we believe that site is ideal because it's away from residential properties. The cricket club, using its initiative, as it always does, and working with the council, has secured $150,000 plus GST from the federal government to fund the project. That's around half of the scope of the project. That will deliver 12 turf nets and 3 hard wickets, and that'll again support the growth and the development of the club, particularly with the introduction of a new women's program this year. We also run various academies for young boys and also for young girls as well. The old cricket pitch, I'm delighted to say, it'll be remediated and it'll be returned to green space. So the project will take some of the Rose Garden, and also understand that Council has negotiated with the RSL to move the memorial. So we definitely believe that the proposed location is the best location because it does use a disused site and it's away from residents to reduce the disruption. We do appreciate there are a number of concerns with residents. Perhaps some of those aren't directly dealt with the redevelopment of the net project. They do deal with car parking, traffic management and other issues. And for that reason, we believe it's appropriate that council may like to consider in the coming period that we work together, including with the residents, to develop a precinct plan. So in summary, Mayor, we certainly support the project for the growth of the ACC. It'll support a new women's and girls program. The venue, the facility is moved away from residents to the South Road corridor, and we do seek the support of council to support the development. We're hoping works can get underway by September for works to be completed in January. So thank you, Mayor, for your
Thanks,
support.
Thanks, Mr. Kiddo. Just while members are thinking of questions, a couple of points that have been made by nearby residents in their emails, etc. One is the suggestion that the cricket club, maybe together with the football club, have exclusive use of the oval. What do you say to that?
The cricket club trains 3 nights a week on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. That's only for the period from 5 till 7.30. And then, of course, on weekends, cricket's predominantly played on a Saturday and occasionally on a Sunday. So the oval outside of those times is absolutely available for community use. I can't talk on behalf of the football club, but I would suggest they're probably training twice a week and playing on a Saturday. So in terms of the complete week, the requirement or the usage, if you like, of the sporting clubs is minimal, and there's significant opportunity there for the residents to use the oval.
Another point that's been made by residents is that the new cricket nets are not required because of Premier Grade compliance. What do you say to that?
We would say they are absolutely required. We're a club in growth. Currently, as we're speaking, we have junior trials on. In addition to the 50 players we already have, we've got 90 boys trying out. As I've already mentioned, we're looking to grow the club and introduce a new women's program. So the growth of the club, Mayor, is significant. And to use the original turf nets that we still use from 25 years ago, it's almost like a baseball mound at the end where you're batting and you're bowling. They do need to be repaired, but the best option is to extend the facility, create a new facility to support the community, because participation in cricket is really growing.
Thank you. Over to members. Questions? Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Worship. Through the Chair, if I could, Mr. Kiddo, ask whether you as a club have experienced a great deal of either positive or negative feedback from particularly the local residents in the area, or the general area, I guess.
Thank you, Councillor. We've, as I've mentioned, we've been at the facility now for 25 years and enjoyed a very, very successful partnership with council, but also the residents. We have residents visit the facility where the children and some of the senior players are local residents themselves. We receive very, very little feedback. And I must say, I was probably surprised through council's consultation process for this project that there was some concerns, and certainly from on behalf of the cricket club and the rec centre, we certainly look forward to working with residents to work through those, and hence the suggestion that perhaps if we could work with council in the future to look at a precinct plan, it may be able to work through those issues of traffic management and car parking. But in terms of the game of cricket, and from what I understand, the game of football, we receive great support, and we really appreciate and the value of using the facility.
Councillor Crossland. Then Hull.
Thank you. Just a quick question for myself. Can you just, you said earlier you'd got 400 members. How many of those members actually reside in the City of Marion?
So just to correct the record, we have 150 members. So they're both players and supporters. So they officially sign up as members. The rest are past players that frequent the venue through past player matches and events and so forth. Councillor, apologies, I can't tell you exactly how many people live in the area of the City of Marion, but it is a large number. And as I say, there's some adjoining residents and some nearby residents that do play cricket. And that's young boys or that's men as well. So we do upkeep the facility. We maintain the facility. We're very proud of it. And as I mentioned previously, we've enjoyed great support from the community in terms of the way that we've upkept the venue and the facility in partnership with the City of Marion.
Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Kiddo. Are you aware that there's at least two Facebook sites representing the Glandore area, one of which has got 900 members?
Councillor, I must admit, I'm not on social media, so no, I'm not aware of that.
Right. It's a good way to engage with the local community. In terms of my rescission motion, no doubt you've read it.
Yes.
Right. It seems to be consistent with some of the things you're saying.
So, Councillor Hull, this is obviously question time.
Yeah,
to...
I'm just wondering what the gentleman thinks of my rescission motion, basically, given that he's looking for a precinct plan, and that's really what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Councillor, for your question. In terms of the net redevelopment, there's demand, immediate demand for that to take place because of the growth of the club. And as I've already hopefully explained, clearly there's issues with the adjoining residents to where the old nets are. They are in a growing state of disrepair. So we, again, do believe to move the facility, and also after securing federal money to assist the project, that the best location for those nets with a club that's in growth is on the commercial corridor of South Road. We certainly do absolutely support the opportunity to work with council and the residents to build a precinct plan for Glandore Oval. I think it's a very, very good idea to work with the community, to work with the council through some of those issues. As you'd appreciate, whilst we're very proud of the venue, it's a small site. There's a lot of activity that takes place, including community activity. So I think a precinct plan would be very timely to be able to plan for the future.
Just other questions? Follow-up question, Councillor Hull?
In terms of community engagement, and you are the Adelaide Cricket Club, and I would think that you would engage with the surrounding community. Do you think that you and we alike, the council, have maybe missed one big step in terms of getting on with looking after your club and trying to actually embrace and engage with the local community?
I'm not sure about the question, but if I can just reinforce the relationship that the Adelaide Cricket Club has with the City of Marion has been nothing but exceptional. The support that we've received has been very generous and greatly received. So in terms of a missing step, I don't know what that may be, but again, we receive great support from the council in terms of being able to use the facility.
All right, let's go on to Councillor Valescu.
Any deadlines as far as the construction and the funding that was provided by the federal government?
Certainly in terms of the growth of our playing base for this coming season, ideally we would have enjoyed the nets up and running by October. But in terms of the scope of work and the tender process, documentation process that needs to follow, it's my understanding that wouldn't commence until September, and that of course depends upon approval. Because obviously grass requires a heat and a bit of water for it to grow and establish itself, we're forecasting that the venue or the facility wouldn't be available until January, which is better than nothing, because again, the players, the men, the women, the boys and the girls can at least enjoy half of the season using that fabulous new facility that's proposed.
Any other questions, Councillor Crossland?
Thank you. Just one more question. It's quite normal when clubs or community groups apply for funding that if it involves council land or the development of council land, it usually has to have a approval from the council beforehand. In this case, if you're wanting to relocate the nets in a new location, did you get the heads up from someone at council that was going to be fine as part of that grant application?
So through the working relationship, Councillor, with the staff, we've obviously gone with a proposal to the staff and have developed that concept over time to this point where now we do have some design and documentation in place. So certainly this project, the funding was secured back in 2019. That made the project real and feasible. Obviously, there was still a discussion and a decision-making process to follow, but certainly over the last year and a half, if not 2 years, we've been working very closely with the team here at the City.
Yes, interesting, of course, that Council had a report and we made a unanimous resolution of approval in March this year. But that's a question, Councillor Crossland, that you can follow up with management when we're dealing with the actual motion, perhaps, in due course. Any others? Then thank you, Mr. Kitto. You may take your place in the gallery. And now, could I please ask Ms. York and Ms. Portway to come forward? I believe going to give a joint deputation. So you have 5 minutes together, and I'm fairly sure there'll be questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Firstly, I'd just like to say that the footprint of Glandore Oval is not fit for purpose for what Mr. Kitto has just outlined, and I think that needs to be considered whilst I make further points. I go to the decision made on the 23rd of March on the topic of Glandore Oval, where Mayor Hannah stated by way of introduction that staff sought agreement on the proposal with relevant stakeholders, and the motion was moved by Councillor Masika. Councillor Gard, and I thank you for your consideration, asked if there was any need for public consultation on moving the memorial
Ms York, the microphones are quite powerful.
Oh, sorry.
So you could probably just relax into the chair a little and it will actually be easier to hear. Thank you.
Sorry, Mayor Hannah, you're taking up my time.
No, sorry, but we'll make allowances. Thank you.
Councillor Garden, thank you for your consideration. Asked if there was any need for public consultation on moving the memorial to Edwardstown, and is the proposal something that can happen by internal means of the City of Marion, and asked, is it our land and are they clublands? The Mayor responded by stating that it's community land under council ownership and asked Mr Hubbard to amplify his comment that stakeholders have been consulted. Mr Hubbard stated that the RSL and Stokel family had been consulted and that the Mayor was correct in regards to the classification of that land and that we are looking at a process of informing the community about that. I contend that residents and ratepayers are stakeholders. I also contend that Council may have been misled by those comments. I contend that residents and ratepayers are stakeholders and should be consulted, not just informed after the fact of making a decision. Under City of Marion's Council Community Land Management Plan, one of the objectives is to provide for the welfare, wellbeing and interests of individuals and groups within the district. Policies for management of land include the Council's Community Consultation Policy, which states as its objective to ensure that the City of Marion effectively consults with its community, promotes community involvement, makes decisions which are open, transparent and responsive to the needs and aspirations of the community. As I stated in my email to you late last night, the two flyers letterboxed to residents are at best confusing and at worst they are misleading. The first flyer received on the 14th of May stated that a decision had been made that the Rose Garden was being removed, and that decision was not made according to the Council's own policies. The second flyer stated that we were to provide our preference to the scenarios regarding the Rose Garden, which included an option to retain the whole Rose Garden with no new cricket nets. That appears to us to reflect a disingenuous attitude toward the community of residents and ratepayers that are affected by Council's decision. Councillor Masika, mover of the 23rd March motion, has indicated to me that he will support rescission of that decision. Thank you, Councillor Masika. Marion Council, I ask that if you value your residents and ratepayers and consider them to be a part of the community, that you support rescission of the decision and put in place a proper consultation process with all stakeholders and on the entire Glandor Oval precinct, as opposed to this piecemeal proposal that has damaged relationships within the community that you represent. Thank you.
Ms. Portway.
Shall I use this one? At various times over 20 years, I've used the mechanisms available to me as a resident to contact the Council with regard to the care, maintenance and upgrading of the Glandor Oval and facilities. 2 years ago, I contacted the Council about lack of consultation with residents regarding the upgrade that was undertaken of the large tennis court area. I was informed that Tennis SA was consulted, but not residents. I expressed the vital importance of community consultations with residents in the planning of changes to the Oval to maximise the Oval's appeal, potential and use. Residents are regular users, not casual users of the Oval. Many use the Oval daily, through all seasons, all sporting events, day and night. We see the strengths and weaknesses of the Oval through a different lens. Residents have a diverse range of needs and perspectives different to those that use the grounds of sports facility. I was told of the plans for moving the cricket nets 2 years ago and was assured that better consultations with residents would be followed with this future planning. The proposed cricket net area is yet another huge area that has not allowed for community consultation. Residents are also concerned about the exclusive use of some of the nets by the Adelaide Cricket Club on a community oval. Exclusive use of a community resource does not sit well with many residents. It is important that community areas and being active is not just for sport or premier or elite sports. The precinct needs to support community activity, not just sporting activity, and provide a place of connection, activity, engagement, supporting health and wellbeing for the whole community. Residents feel that with good community consultation, sound holistic vision and excellent planning, the Oval would provide for the whole community.
Thank you. Well, we let it go on a little, but we do appreciate the contribution. Questions? Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you for coming tonight and giving us deputation. My question's just around the nets and exclusivity. With our tennis courts that we have around the council, that clubs usually have exclusive rights to, there's usually one or two that are permanently available for community use. If that was incorporated into something like that, would that be amenable to the residents?
I believe that that is the case, that there will be some available for community access, but there has been, in some of the information, it's been unclear as to how many of the nets. There's different information around that.
Can we just clarify that straight away? Because I thought that was extremely clear. Is it not three for community use, and is it 12 for club use? So 12 plus three. Thank you. Other questions? Councillor Hull.
Thanks for coming, ladies. In terms of any question about the grant funding and any expiry date on that, is it not true that your local member ascertained that there's no urgency in terms of the expenditure of the grant funds from the federal government?
Yes, that's my understanding, and I have also called Nicole Flint's office, and they suggested the same thing.
Yeah. In terms of the master plan suggested by Mr. Kitto, would you, on behalf of the residents, welcome that as an opportunity to sit down and chew the fat over this and give everybody the best opportunity to succeed, including the cricket club?
That would be an excellent outcome, Councillor. That's what we've been seeking for some time, but as Ms. Portway pointed out, that hasn't been forthcoming, and even despite questions for 2 years, but even before that, we seem to be locked out as residents and ratepayers. And in fact, this Glandore Community Recreation Centre, I haven't been provided with an answer as to what that constitution is, who it constitutes, how you actually get to speak to that board. And we used to have a resident representative on the Glandore Oval Management Committee, but that seemed to have disappeared some time ago, and this other body seems to have come about, but without any information that's gone to residents about how that board can be contacted, what its purpose is, or how we can input into that. So a master plan would be very welcomed. Thank you.
Councillor, I've got a final question. Sure.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask the question of the residents about their understanding of the meeting when we decided to do this. Clearly, on the recording, you can hear Councillor Gard ask staff, were the community consulted in regards to this proposal? And the staff member clearly said, yes, they had been consulted. Now, can the community...
Order. One is quoting, one needs to be extremely careful. An impression is different from the exact quote. But please proceed with your question.
Well, maybe we can play it now if you're happy.
Just proceed with your question, thanks.
It's on the public record, Mr. Mayor, okay? We don't record these meetings for nothing. The point that I'm making is, can you forgive me as an elected member of voting on the basis of the question that Mr. Gard asked and the answer he received? Can you understand that I voted in good faith that the community was consulted on the basis of the answer to Councillor Gard's question?
Point of order.
This
is not with regards to a personal representation of the member. It was a unanimous decision, and he shouldn't have to seek forgiveness.
I uphold the point of order in that it's not a factual question which assists the council with its debate of the issue. So we'll move on. Any other members with questions? Councillor Vlescu?
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether you think it's the right idea to actually have the extra cricket nets on the oval.
Councillor
I don't believe that the footprint, the footprint of Glandore Oval is large enough. It's quite close to residential housing, and if the club is growing in size, as Mr. Kiddo pointed out, I simply don't think that footprint is fit for purpose. Sure, we welcome sports, and perhaps it's more suited to junior sports, but I think the nets that are in consideration or that have been determined are way too large for that footprint, and it will have an impact on the whole precinct that will impact then on the community. So I don't see, and I don't think there is any reason under Premier Grade cricket, which is what we keep being told that these need to happen for Premier Grade cricket, that the current nets in their current location can't be upgraded so that residents aren't affected with ball noise and I don't know what they were called, the flying balls going over the fence. I think that those currently situated nets could be upgraded in order to protect residents, the neighbouring residents. And I'm also informed that SACA doesn't... Well, my understanding is that the amount of courts that's in the proposal is not required for Premier Grade cricket, that there could be a lesser impact on the space that is Glandore Oval.
Sorry.
There's been a call from members of the community to have consultation. There is a consultation process now. So you're aware of that for the...
Yeah,
facility?
We are aware of the consultation process now, but that's with the nets going ahead and in place, which really limits what can be done to that precinct. So whilst there's the precinct, it's getting more and more limited. We had no consultation about the tennis courts, now there's going to be nets. So what we can actually do in terms of the whole community, maybe the nets are... what the community wants, but there's been no consultation around this and around what might be the best use of that oval.
Can staff clarify whether the consultation is going, like whether stuff's going ahead regardless of the consultation, or is the administration going to wait for the outcome of the consultation and then proceed or otherwise?
I believe the documentation that's gone to the residents says that no work will be done until the consultation results are in. Okay. And obviously that council have had a chance to consider that. Well, thank you for your deputations, Ms. York, Ms. Portway, and you may return to the gallery. The very next item is a presentation of a petition. So would someone like to move... according to these recommendations at the bottom of page 50, Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Mason. Any further comment? If not, I'll take the opportunity, if I may, to make a personal explanation because of comments made about councillors and the council by residents. Is there any objection? Then I have leave of the meeting. The reason for feeling compelled to make some sort of statement is to correct the record. There was a leaflet circulated, I believe, in the last week or so, which contains derogatory remarks about myself and Councillor Mason in particular, but reflects on council more generally. So I want to correct the record. I go back to the 23rd of March 2021 General Council meeting when the proposal to go forward with the cricket nets and replacement of the Rose Garden with turf was unanimously approved. The motion at that time included a resolution to inform the community. That did not occur, and I can only think that there would still be a debate, I'm sure, in the community, but there would be less difficulty if council administration had carried out that resolution to obviously not only inform but explain to the community what was happening. It was the first weekend in May that I became aware of disquiet in the community, mainly through Facebook posts and emails started arriving at about that time. It took a short period to realise that it was more than one or two individuals. So, and part of the criticism that was being made was lack of consultation among the broader residents. Now, I still believe that when staff made a judgment call at the time to consult the RSL, the Stokel family in relation to the memorial, the organised users, that is licensees, etc., at the Glandore Oval precinct, that it was a reasonable call. That is not to say in hindsight that it was the right one or the best one, but it was a reasonable call at the time. And I add to that my personal observations when I have visited the Oval. The Rose Garden is next to South Road, and back in back after the Second World War, etc., it would have been a different situation before the Emerson overpass and so on. Now it's not a particularly pleasant place to walk, in my personal view, because it's right next to one of Adelaide's busiest roads. But nonetheless,
point of order.
Point of order. Councillor Hull.
This is really getting away from the personal explanation. You are now entering debate on the merits of South Road versus these courts.
Very well. I might seek the Deputy Mayor to take the chair to rule on that point of order, and I seek leave of the meeting to continue my remarks from... Except that I can't leave the... I'm not sure if I can make... I think the Deputy Mayor needs to come forward and deal with that point of order before I continue. I'll leave the meeting while that point is being dealt with. But since I have leave to make a personal explanation, I'll make the point that I'm leading up to the point of the personal distasteful criticism in the leaflet that was distributed, and to explain the way I've responded to resident criticism, it's necessary to go through the history.
Okay, good evening everyone. I've been informed by Ms. McKenzie that the Mayor was making a personal explanation, and there's nothing in our rules which prohibit him from saying anything in his personal explanation. And so I reject the point of order.
So the Mayor resuming his explanation. As I said, the first weekend in May was when disquiet among some of the community came to my attention. I responded by calling a public meeting at the Oval on the 6th of May 2021, and that's where senior management, ward councillors and about 20 members of the public attended. we listened to their concerns. One of the things which became obvious was that some of the concerns were indeed about the Rose Garden, etc., but there were many concerns that were broader about surrounding traffic, litter in the streets, and a whole range of things. So it was at that very meeting that I suggested that council would proceed with a broader consultation, and bearing in mind that we had council resolution on foot, that was probably the best I could do to address concerns at that time. So the response that I've had to that after, first of all, an information leaflet went out, secondly, a genuine consultation from council went out with open-ended questions. The response to that was a personal attack, as I say, from a resident that I won't name. But to suggest that I have disdain for the residents is a proposition completely rejected. As I've said, once I became aware there was some disquiet and that further consultation was appropriate, I took steps as mayor, including engagement with senior management, to ensure that that happened. So while I will always welcome diverse points of view about the issues that we have to face as council, it is disgraceful to respond to elected members with personal attacks, and I suggest it does more harm than good to the cause of those who are putting those insults forward. Thank you. We have a mover and a seconder. Is there any further discussion? Then I'll put the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you.